Okay. I know we've all heard the expression, we will to do the will of God. And that awareness, I think, is a step up from legalism that is still too dominant in the church world today. We realize that we cannot perform adequately to earn God's favor. And the truth is that Jesus won God's favor for us by going to the cross. And so we realize that what we can do is we can will to do his will. The problem is our self-will, there are times when we do will to do the will of God until we don't, until we will to do our will. And the self-will is a very tricky thing. I mean, if you really want to be honest about it, there are times where it can be submitted to God and there are other times when it's self-absorbed. Self-will tends to be focused on self-interest. Amen. And so we fight this battle whether we want to admit to it or not. And the problem with our will when we're centered on what we want, it causes a hardening of the heart. When the scriptures talk about a hardening of the heart, it's not referring to a lack of emotion or that you can't feel any love. Hardness of heart means there's a lack of openness to God, his ways, his will. And so that's why we want to see our hearts softened so that God can imprint on us his thoughts, his heart, his will, his ways. In Mark chapter 9, we're going to read there in just a second. We want to look about this comparison about the human will and God's will. And again, I think it really requires us to be honest of how self-focused we really are. Even when a person says, well, I'm not concerned about money and worldly things. All I care about is the ministry and God's will. Well, the ego can still be very much involved with that. How do we define the ministry? It's basically what we want to do for God, and we want some credit along the way. We want people to see how spiritual we are. There's a lot of ego involved in the busyness of the church world. So we're going to learn from the word today, the word I have is really only God can bring the change in us. It's not a matter of us willing. We need to be willing, but we need God's help to be willing.
That's right.
In Mark chapter 9, it's in this chapter, actually it's chapter 8, I'm sorry. It's where Jesus is asking, who do people say that I am? And Peter has a revelation that he's Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what do we see there? Jesus says, you got a revelation from the Father on this. There's a willingness in Peter's heart. His will was bent and softened to a point where he could see truly who Jesus was. But you read down a little bit later, and Jesus is talking about going to the cross. And Peter says, no, that's not going to happen. What's happened? That self-will has asserted itself. Peter is saying, no, wait a minute. Our expectations are you're going to be our king, and you can't be our king if you go to a cross and die. And Jesus rebukes him. And he says to him, you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. See, that's the dilemma of the human will. We have a lot of expectations, and what ends up happening in a religious sense is we want what we want, and we hope God wants the same thing. And so the will of God gets defined by our plans and just hoping and praying that God's blessings is on our plans. That's not the same thing as his will. That's our will with his stamp of approval. What we want to see is God's will exercised through us, conforming our thinking, changing our thinking, transforming us so that that is truly what we want. So here Peter flip-flops from having a softened will to see that Christ was the Son of the living God to actually standing up and saying, no, the cross can't be right. This was a dilemma with the whole Jewish people of the time. They were expecting of the Messiah. But after coming out of Babylon, they wanted their own land. They wanted freedom. And they interpreted the prophets by the Messiah would come and be king. They were looking for a king in the physical, in the natural. Even though Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this realm, that didn't register. It was their will to be free from Rome, not God's will. And that's why they couldn't receive him as a son of God. So we need to see a work done. When it's self-will, we have a hardened heart, and there's a lack of openness to God. And we need for God to break that to where we can understand his purposes, not impose on him our expectations and just want his blessing, but to back off, open up, humble our hearts, and say, Lord, show us what your will truly is. We look at Luke chapter 18, and I'm going to read from the Message Bible of the rich young ruler. It says, do you see how difficult it is for people that have it all to enter God's kingdom? That phrase, have it all. It's difficult for us when we're full of ourselves, have it all, to enter God's realm. That's why we need to be poor in spirit. We need to learn how to empty ourselves. So self-will makes us full of ourselves. I don't need to go any further than that with that. Instead of being full of God's spirit or his will. Then who has any chance at all? There's no chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. That's his will. Peter said, we've left everything to follow you. What do we get out of this? Jesus said, you won't regret it. It'll all come back to you multiplied in your lifetime and then eternal life to follow. What was this all about? The rich young ruler came saying, I've kept all the commandments. Jesus exposes his heart and motivation and says, okay, one more thing. You got a lot of riches, dump them, follow me. The rich young ruler left feeling very sad. What we need to learn from this is we need to face our own human failure. It's impossible in our own strength to do the will of God or to even will the will of God. We are constructed in such a way that we are ego-centered. Yes. Only God, by his Spirit, can break that. And if you think that you can do it, that's your ego saying, I'm going to do it. Independent of God. I'm going to do it in my own strength. I'm going to will the will of God. I'm going to make myself spiritual. You see the problem. God says, I want you to empty yourself so you can be full of me. And if we're full of our self-effort, there's no room for the Spirit. Who can be saved? Peter said. When we face the futility of our own human effort, the impossible becomes possible. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. That's the key. When we can be honest about the futility of our own efforts, then we've opened up to the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. That's what grace is. Grace becomes real when you are able to admit to yourself that you can't do it. And then when grace is real, anything and everything's possible in God. There's nothing he cannot do to us and through us. Peter says, we've left all to follow you. What was Peter saying? We've done the will of God. We've dumped everything to follow you. What do we get? Jesus says you get everything in this life and the life to come. Now, follow the life of Peter. He also told Peter, remember when you were young, you went away, you wanted to go. But the time is coming when you're older, another will gird you. In other words, you're not going to be able to take care of yourself. Another will lead you away you would not go. It was referring to Peter's martyrdom, but let's go a little deeper than that. It was referring to Peter's life after he received the Holy Spirit. Another will gird you. You're Peter. You're independent. You think you can do it all. Lord, I'll never deny you. Short time later, he denies him three times. What's the Lord saying? Another will gird you. The Holy Spirit will gird you and lead you and take you the way that God wants you to go. Your mind will never get you there. So Peter is saying, what do we get? We're disciples. We've left everything. Jesus is saying, you're getting it all. I don't remember Peter dying a rich man. Jesus wasn't talking about worldly riches, and a lot of people interpret it that way. Peter was martyred. What Jesus was saying, Peter, you get it all, you get me. What is the will of God? Expressions through gifts and ministries, that's part of it. The will of God is a state of being. Remember it says, be thankful in all things, for this is God's will for you. Thankful heart, what God's able to work in us. The will of God, as we let him work it through us, is to know Christ. And if we know Christ, we know the Father. It's all about reconciliation and coming to know by the grace of God who our Heavenly Father is, who the Son is. And that's why the Holy Spirit is in us. Why did God give us the Holy Spirit? Because he wants us to move in gifts. Well, I think that's secondary. Read John 14 through 16. God gave us the Holy Spirit so we could know the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:13. Can you turn there real quick with me? I want to read this. Verse 12 says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, we look at that verse and go, okay, let's get busy here. Got to work it out. Now he shows you what that means. Verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What this verse is referring to is God is working in us to work his will. All we can do is give God permission. Yes, amen. He doesn't force his will on us. We're free moral creatures. We have a free will. We're not robots. So when you say, well, I'm going to will to do the will of God, no, you can give God permission to say, God, you're in my life. Work your will in me. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that entails. Maybe if I did, I wouldn't be saying it. But anyway, I give you permission to work your will in me. It's the only way our will changes from self-domination to agreeing with God is that we give him that permission. Hebrews chapter 13, it says, the God of peace equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Who's doing the work? God by the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, if you want to turn there. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you take no pleasure. I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in them, this is verse 8, which are according to the law, he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. This is talking about our Lord. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When we give God permission to work his will and pleasure in us, it's a process of sanctification. Now, I thought we were already sanctified. We are. But wouldn't it be good to be aware of it in this lifetime, in this physical realm, to know that experientially, that sanctification that came through the cross and resurrection? How does that come? By allowing God's will to work in us. We become aware of the purity and the holiness of the Lord within our lives. One other verse I want to read to you. This is Acts 13:22. Talks about David, a man after God's own heart. Ever wonder what that means? It says here, conforming to my will and purposes. To be after the heart of God means that our life is conformed to His will and purposes. Who can do that? Only God can do that in us. And it says, it follows, David, a man after my own heart, who will do my will. I know it's in our heart to do that, but we just need to acknowledge that without God working in us, it can't be done. Again, what's the one thing that God is going after? That independent, I can do it myself. And bringing us to a point of emptying out and saying, only you can do it by the Spirit. That's why He gave the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I've got to leave. It's necessary. I go. When the Helper comes, what? The Spirit in us is what does the work that needs to be done. What do we need to do? Be in agreement. Cooperate. Humble our hearts. Say, yes, Lord. Do unto me according to your word. Amen. Be blessed. All right.